If we agree that we want to live better, we want to live in a wonderful society where there are no enemies, where there is no need to be afraid of anyone, where we are confident in tomorrow, where there is no inflation, where there is no corruption and all sorts of negativity which is here, there is just no negativity because we have eliminated it. We want to live in such a society. But for this, we merely need to inform all our acquaintances. It is necessary to ensure that no one in our environment, so to say, remains unaware that we can build a creative society and we must build it. If we do that, the creative society will come. And it will come very soon. This depends on us. And on this very idea, we should unite. This will give us a tremendous benefit. Isn't that right? So what are we uniting on?
On the idea of the creative.
On, first and foremost, on the material benefit, the benefit for us and our descendants, say, whatever we leave to our children, whatever legacy or something else, we do not guarantee tomorrow for them. Why? Problems with healthcare, problems with peace in this world, problems with inflation and many other things. Thus, we leave our children, grandchildren and descendants in an extremely difficult situation, in the consumerist format. And this doesn't guarantee tomorrow for them at all, no matter how we try. Whereas if we leave the creative society to our descendants, this is a guarantee of tomorrow and the day after tomorrow for them. Isn't that wonderful? It seems to me it's wonderful. And for the sake of this, one should work a little bit. Part with one's laziness and start talking to people. And here another point arises. People are afraid of speaking on this topic.
Of talking.
Again, the topic of what will they think about me?
Now look, what will they think about me? I've started talking about the creative society. Yet what is bad about the creative society? Why we are not afraid to deceive each other or lie in order to get something, some benefit? After all, nothing will give more benefit to a human, any human, than building a creative society. Isn't it so? It is. And we are afraid to talk about this. Isn't it a paradox? And now look, my friends. For example, if we take the LGBT movement, we have nothing against it. Everyone has the right to live their lives the way they want. In this case, we take it as a positive example that, for instance, 20 or 30 years ago, no one would even think that LGBT would be legally approved in many countries. And God forbid you say anything bad against them. It's a very small group of people in society who have gained their rights, haven't they? And since they are already a minority, they must not be offended. Excuse me, my friends. It's a minority who have gained their rights on such a sensitive issue. They were not afraid to talk about it. Representatives of LGBT community are not afraid to talk about their problems and gain their rights. While you, my friends, are afraid to talk about the rights in terms of building the creative society. Isn't this funny? Not really. Actually, it is sad. Why is it sad? Because we are not used to defending our rights. And people have shown us an example, a living example of how even a minority can impose their rights on us all against our will. While you are afraid to talk about it with friends and acquaintances in order to make your children happy, in order for you yourself to live in happiness and joy, and not to worry about a penny. What if you lose it or fail to earn it? What will happen to your children? And if you get sick, get a serious disease? Will you have enough money to cure your body? And what if your child gets sick? Will you cage and ask on television, people help? God forbid. After all, you never know. In foreign hospitals, treatment of certain diseases is extremely expensive. And these prices are unaffordable for an average person, and people are forced to scrounge, beg and appeal. It's not shameful, is it? Well, to ensure that healthcare is accessible, free, and equal all over the world. I apologize, I will digress a little bit. After all, I have spent most of my life in healthcare, and it's unclear to me, how is this possible? How is this possible that in a country Parents are left alone with a health problem of their child. They have to sell everything, approach strangers with a request and literally beg them, help me to cure, to save my child. And how is this possible that something which actually costs pennies costs huge money in foreign hospitals? And why, pardon me, do we not have it in our country? And why is it not available for free? It doesn't concern just our country where we live. It concerns everyone around the world. Isn't that so? And it always turns out that in your country, there are no methods and ways to treat one or another pathology for a very large number of children. This should not be the case in the creative society. Everything should be free of charge and available everywhere around. And all the advanced technologies should be available everywhere, in any part of the world, and absolutely free of charge for citizens. Is already a guarantee of something, right?
The value of life is the most important thing.
The value of life is the most important and the main thing. We have touched only on a small part, but the consciousness of many people will say, thank God, it won't concern us.
There are so many counterfeit medications today.
And if we take that very healthcare again, how many counterfeit medications are there in the consumer's format in which we exist nowadays? A lot. It's a simple example. It's all over the world, my friends. Even in the most advanced countries, there are very many medications that are not medicinal. This is mere counterfeiting. So a person fell ill, God forbid, oncology, or something extremely severe, and an extremely expensive treatment is required. And relatives, friends, they all gather, try to save the life of this person by medications at ridiculously high prices, medications that do not treat, that are empty shells. It's just that someone made a profit on that. And this is normal. For our society, it's normal. And everyone understands, yes, these are scoundrels, it's not good. But what is responsibility? Yes, in many countries there is a penalty or something else, or a minimal punishment for this. But it is actually a deliberate killing of a person, plus stealing from many people, isn't it so? Well, we've touched upon it just a little bit. What about counterfeiting of food products? Isn't it so? How many food products do not meet state standards, regulations and the like? It's just that somebody makes a profit. They counterfeit everything, but it severely affects our health. Various products are genetically modified or made improperly. There are harmless products that are genetically modified but which will not cause health complications in the body, while there are ones that will cause uncontrolled mutations. And this is very poorly regulated, especially where it's possible to push through at least a little bit. It is pushed through a huge batches, and we end up eating it all. We do harm to ourselves, and this is normal. We cause harm to our children, and no one knows how it will affect our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. In other words, we are building a terrible world for ourselves. Well, such is the reality. So, in the creative society, this is unrealistic and impossible. Why? Because they say, how come it's impossible? After all, it exists now. Now it exists because we have such a format. Because we do not value human life, either ours or someone else's. While in the creative society, the highest value is human life, including your life and the lives of your relatives and friends and all the people. That's the difference, my friends. And I think we should unite and start talking about it openly. After all, what we are talking about what improves our lives, what will fill our refrigerators, what will fill our pockets, and what will not overload us, like a pack horse, you see? And the work will become a joy. And this is possible. Many people will say, how is that? It's easy, my friends. Easy. Everything is very simple.
So basically, when people are afraid that a new political order or something else will change, everyone is afraid of losing something.
This is not a political order.
Can anything be lost?
We say it once again that the creative society cannot be a political order or something else. No. It's a complete absence of any political orders. Politics is control over people. It is manipulation. And as Jackie said, I mean artificial consciousness, politicians are professional liars. He made a good conclusion back then. Guys, no offense, but it is really so. That's why there should be no power over a person in the creative society at all. No one has the right to have any kind of power over other people. And this should be enshrined in law. And not just enshrined in law, we should support it. Why? I'll explain to you in a simple way, my friends. No matter what kind of a person we take, the best, the most enlightened, the kindest, the most spiritual, and put him above us by giving him power, he will become just the same as everyone else. And very quickly, very quickly. Even if the most spiritually enlightened person stands the test of power, then his successor will certainly become the same as all the rest. In any case, people who surround this spiritual and enlightened leader will become the same as those who rule this world now. It's the law of nature. The most important and the main thing when building the creative society is to be honest, to know all the most negative qualities of a human being, to openly recognize it all, and to take it all into account when building it, to create the society in such a way that it would be impossible for anyone to manifest low and worst qualities, especially in those positions where there is responsibility before society, then everything will be fine. That is, if a person is appointed to a certain position to coordinate some activities, economics or something else, he should have no power. People should have power. But this person must bear responsibility, and we should create such conditions for his work where he cannot become the same scoundrel as the ones who are many nowadays. Right? We have to recognize that this entire negativity of ours is a problem, first of all, in us and in society. It's impossible to get rid of corruption. There are no countries in this world where there is no corruption. There are none. There are hidden, smarter forms of corruption. There is outright corruption. It doesn't matter, but corruption is everywhere. Everywhere politicians are fighting to come to power. For what? Why do they literally eat each other and force their way to the pinnacle of this power in order to help us? Are they such altruists? Do they love us so much so that day and night they can stay awake and take care of their citizens? Guys, let's not be naive. Everyone understands perfectly well that all seek a better life. So, a better life should be available for everyone. However, by no means just for some individuals. Power should remain with people, and that's the entire meaning of the creative society. It should not be delegated to anyone. Otherwise, we will spoil this person. Right? Right. Well, this is the next stage. Well, at the first stage, even the first stage is informing. At the next stage, we will have to delegate power to someone. Even when building this creative society, after all, everything should be legal, everything should be absolutely honest, open, transparent, and most importantly, absolutely legal. For doing this, well, let's take the simplest model. This came up to me impromptu, and I will tell you what can be done. For example, the way I see it, let's imagine, let's assume that now we begin to tell everybody, to inform them that there is such a creative society, and if you are interested in it, join us. Well, who wouldn't want to? Who isn't interested? Well, who wouldn't want to join and live in a creative society? Any normal person wants. That is, we can safely say 99% of the population want this. I took the bare minimum. This is what everyone wants, indeed. With few exceptions, those are, excuse me, people who are sick or who are already, how to put it, not quite healthy, both psychologically and the like. I mean, there can be such people, but it is one in thousands, while everyone else wants this. So, in order to build it, we need to pass the first stage. The first stage is to inform all and everyone. And when we inform people They have a question, okay, but how do we know how many of us are and what will be when and how? For this purpose, there is a platform on Alatra Unites, perhaps. We will show it to you right now. We will also show you how you can register there. What does it give? It gives an idea of how many people in every country support the creative society, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And when people visit the website, they register in a simple form and choose whether they support, not ready, or support and ready to cooperate and more. There are three questions.
The country, yes.
I support, I'm ready and I will.
Yes, simply by registering your email address, which you can immediately think up or create a new one and register. That's not difficult. But this way, the number of people is visible. So, for example, in a country where there is a certain number, and across all countries we know how many people are eligible to vote in elections, meaning a lot depends on them, they are such an active electorate. And when more than 50% of the active electorate in a country supports the creative society, then we can already proceed to the second part. The second part, let's call it an electoral platform, meaning creating a certain website that people already visit. It is already specifically in a country that people visit, and here they already need to actually register with their first and last names and some of their strictly personal...
Some personal data.
Personal data and sign in with passwords so that no one else could log in. All this is very easy to do. So, this electoral platform already becomes the basis for further construction. What does it mean? This means that the electorate begins to elect for themselves those politicians who entirely and completely support the creative society. In other words, those who are going to build it, while others are not elected. And why would the electorate need others? Those who want to prolong the consumerist format and to be freeloaders. This is wrong. So, when people get into power from the perspective of the creative society through the electoral platform, there should be a certain agreement, for example, between the electorate and those very people who are granted the right to decide for people. And the first thing they should do is to adopt a law about the electoral platform, that it is entitled to revoke, to regulate, and that it represents a legislative base. And the deputies who were delegated by people are obliged to fulfill people's will, meaning what people say. That's what they will vote for. Basically, we spoke about it, God knows when, about such a possibility when establishing the creative society. We described this platform as well, but now we do it elaborately and in more detail. The second law they should immediately adopt is the incorporation of the 8 foundations into their country's constitution. And if people do not comply, as soon as they get into power, the first laws they should adopt are as follows. The first is the electoral platform. The second is the incorporation of the 8 foundations into the constitution of their country. If they fail to do that, this nation revokes its voices, meaning it organizes re-election in this country. And those whom people elected, to whom they temporarily delegated their power, just become the same people as everyone else. But it would be more correct if they answer before the nation for lying, for using this opportunity and not fulfilling what they promised. That's where it all starts. And then adoption of certain laws, decisions, and everything else begins. When the 8 foundations are already in the constitution, the rest is a mere formality. But when it is clear, I will digress a little again, that it's impossible to build a creative society in one single country. Guys, no matter how much we want it. Why? Let me explain it simply. Imagine a country where people have wanted to live like in the creative society, but all countries around remain in a consumerist format. Today, the economies of countries are all interconnected. Consumerism is everywhere, while here there is a creative order. In other words, it is simply impossible to survive. Therefore, something out of these 8 foundations can and should be implemented, of course, and people will be obliged to implement that. Plus, adoption of laws is already under people's control, and in the future there will be a gradual transition towards expanding the creative society depending on economy and conditions. At this point, people themselves should already look, keep track, choose, and make decisions. Why? Because the electoral platform becomes the basis. I will explain what it means so as to make it clear. For example, once a week you get 3 or 4 laws that need to be reviewed, with several clauses and comments. It is not difficult to spend 15 or 20 minutes and vote yes or no. Many will say, a lot of people do not have access to the internet. Yes, a lot of them. But this problem must be solved. Besides, it is not difficult to help your friends and acquaintances through the same gadget, let's say, through the same phone. For instance, a granddaughter or a grandson can visit their grandmother and register her. After all, she has the right to vote, doesn't she? Is that difficult? It's not. Explain, tell her, and the person makes a choice, but already logs in under her own codes through the phone of that very granddaughter or grandson and makes a decision. It shouldn't be the way it is today. Today we adopt many different laws and they say that this is a vital need. Why? Guys, let's be honestly, in order to open the border for 2 days so that one of the oligarchs could transport the cargo and then legally close it, isn't that so? Some temporary laws, some tricks, they say everything flows, everything changes, yes. But there are fundamental laws that should not be adopted without people, is that right? It's right. Meaning, it is by no means a referendum. Many people will say it will be like during a referendum. It may result in bureaucracy, no bureaucracy whatsoever. Everything will be easy and simple, because we are all interested in this. And if we adopt the creative society, we must take responsibility when we decide for ourselves. But at first, yes. While building it, still, there are politicians, there is a deputy, but a deputy, having adopted the law on the electoral platform, can no longer decide for people on his behalf, you understand? He can vote for himself as a person, but is only one vote out of a million. However, he cannot make decisions that are advantageous for himself, for his chumps, friends and relatives, but disadvantageous for people who endowed him with power. He won't be able, because he merely fulfills people's will, as it should be. After all, in all constitutions of the world, it is specified that all power belongs to the people. Isn't that so? It is. Therefore, power should belong to people, at least in the creative society. If we want that, whereas if we don't want it, we will not do that, right? Then we will remain as we are. It's our choice, people's choice. But if we want that, then it all will be done, legally as it should be, right? We shouldn't ruin anything before we build something new. So, a creative society should be built in such a way that first something new and good is built, and then something bad and old is ousted. But it shouldn't be that everything is destroyed and then something new is built. This shouldn't be done. First, we should provide something new and better, and then we can remove what is worse, right? So there is nothing complicated. Now let's go back and proceed. So when a country adopts the creative society and begins to introduce and develop it, then again propaganda to other countries takes place. And when the majority of countries, let's say developed countries, adopt the creative society, then it should be decided at the international level how to unite this majority of dominant countries. Even if a few countries remain in the consumerist format, it doesn't matter at all. They will be dragged into this wheel. But when the main economy of the world will adopt the creative society, then it will be developed all over the world, right? Right. Then and only then it is necessary to solve all the issues related to unification, economy, and lots of other things. This can be, well, the consciousness of some people will say again, it'll take a long time. Guys, if we want this, it will happen very fast. Very, very fast. It depends on us, on each of us. And the first stage is very important. To talk to friends, acquaintances and the like, right?
Yes. Informing is underestimated.
We just take the phone, a simple example. We take the phone and look. Which of my friends doesn't know about the creative society? Who does not support it and why? And the only reason why he may not be supporting it is because you didn't explain and didn't tell him. And it turns out that you want a creative society, you want to live in a good, chic and beautiful world, but you deprive yourselves of this opportunity because you haven't informed someone, and you deprive that person of the opportunity to live in such a world, as well as others who are on your list. Isn't that so? So when consciousness says, oh, come on, how will I call and tell? Guys, what about the LGBT organization? A small organization that has attained its rights at the international level. Isn't that so? So they pursued their interests, which many do not understand and which are not accepted by the majority. But we, the entire majority, have submitted to the minority because they have the right for that. Yet doesn't the majority have the right to live well, to live worthy of a human being? And this is where the path begins. When we give ourselves the answer that we as the majority have the right to live well, we're human beings and we are worthy to live according to the high title of a human, aren't we?